is Lifestyle Indy with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
Thank you so much for listening. Oh, today's going to be fun. We are talking about one of our great places to go, to visit, to explore in downtown Indianapolis, the Indiana Historical Society. Joining us is Natalie Palmer, the Senior Director of Visitor Services and Special Events. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, Julie. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're so glad you're on today. One of my favorite things that they do downtown on the canal is the Concerts on the Canal that the Historical Society hosts, and it's coming up.
It is, just around the corner. So, you know, as long as the weather holds up and, you know, all this May rain we've been having, that you can get out of the way.
Yeah.
And as soon as May 30th hits, clear skies and sunshine all the way through.
Now, all of these shows are Thursdays, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So, yes, each one's Thursday, and performances are 6 to 8 p.m.
6 to 8 p.m. It's so much fun. If you haven't been, you must make this. You got to plan for this on a Thursday. So, beginning the 30th of May, and how many weeks?
So, 8 weeks.
Eight weeks.
Concerts through July 18th.
Okay. Tell me about Jesse Brown, your first guest on May 30th.
Jesse Brown is amazing. She can do anything. It's been probably about 4 or 5 years since she's joined us for the concert series. She used to travel a lot and be a national artist. She used to actually live in Nashville, Tennessee, and she recently just moved back here. Indianapolis is her home. She recently moved back here with her family. But I love her. She does a little bit of country, a little bit of rock, a little bit of soul, just a little bit of everything. And she does some covers, but she has a lot of her own music that she debuts as well. But it's something that you can move to, dance to, and just kind of have a good time with.
Okay, so she's going to open the concert on the canal. I have to tell you, and that is going to be May 30th.
Yes.
Is that sold out yet? Do we know? Because I know
yet.
They do.
Yes, we have two concerts that are sold out right now, but our opening night, Jesse Brown, we still have some seats left.
Well, shoo-ba-doo-wah, what's sold out already? Let me guess, Rob Dixon.
Living Proof on June 13th and the Bishops on July 11th.
Okay.
So that's sold out on our plaza, but we still have plenty of free seating. You can come and sit on the grassy area on both sides of the canal. You know, bring your own blanket or food and everything like that and sit there and have a good time for free.
Now, let's explain this to people who aren't familiar with the canal, or maybe you've been to the canal and you're trying to picture this in your mind. So the Historical Society is on the west side of the canal, right? Logistically?
Yes.
And then?
Yeah, so in between Military Park and the canal.
Yes. So
to visualize.
Then you have a canal, a waterway, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
On the other side is like a grassy knoll, and that's what she's talking
right.
about. And you can, because clearly you can hear the music. You don't have to pay. You can bring some food, and a lot of people like to do the show that way because, you know, maybe they're on a budget. So that's another really good way to do it.
Exactly.
Okay. So I brought up Rob Dixon. I've seen this guy perform. He is amazing.
Phenomenal.
He is phenomenal. He's a saxophone player, right? Am I thinking of the same guy?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I thought so. So we did a piece on the TV show, Lifestyle Indy, about Jazz Fest last year, and he was one of the people that were featured, and I've never been to the Jazz Festival, and it was like, whoa, you know, I could grow to like this. Yeah. So he's pretty phenomenal. I imagine you'll have a big jazz crowd for that one. So you mentioned Living Proof. They're just like a very popular local group, would you say? Super popular.
Yeah, very super popular local group. A lot of dance music, just things that, you know, most everybody knows. It's going to be a lot of 90s music, you know, a little bit of today's music thrown in there and everything. But it's just like fun, get up and dance. You know, even if you're sitting in your seat dancing, you know, just do a little jig. That's fine, too.
Yeah, I like the chair dance. I can do that. Yep. Well, jig.
So yeah,
I don't
a lot
know.
Of Did pop I? And R&B and dance music, yeah.
I'm not sure what I just said. All right. So Deb Mullins is another guest. Tell me about Deb. She's going to be there on June the 20th.
Mm-hmm. So Deb is cabaret style. So,
ooh.
You know, think of, like, Columbia Club, and you're just, like, you know, hanging out in the you know, just in the club, and she's going to do a lot of jazz standards, like bluesy jazz and pop type things. Deb is one of our crowd favorites. You know, I try to bring her back every, you know, 2-3 years or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She has a huge following, so I expect that one to be sold out pretty soon as well. But yeah, she'll be coming and joining us on stage on June 20th.
Love it. What about, now you said Groove Essential. Is that the other one that's sold out?
Groove Essential, we still have some seats left. Okay. The Bishops are the ones that are sold
out.
The Bishops. Groove Essential will join us on June 27th.
Well, tell me about Groove Essential. I imagine it's groovy 70s music. I could be way off.
I think a little bit of everything. So like 70s, 80s, 90s, okay. A lot of dance hits. Again, we try to mix it up a little bit. I don't know if you notice kind of the schedule kind of goes back and forth between, you know, like chill jazz music. You're just relaxing, enjoying everything. And then we kind of switch to like fun dance music, do some throwbacks, you know, music that everybody knows and loves
sure.
in their childhood and things like that. And then, you know, they kind of mix in some of today's music. You're going to hear a lot of covers and things like that. So we try to rotate that throughout the schedule so we have something for everybody every week.
Yeah,
some people are going to come every single week. I have a lot of season ticket holders. They're here every single week, all 8 weeks. I see them all summer. People like to come and just hang out with their friends and just a fun night because it's Thursday night. It's almost the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have some fun. But, you know, if you're just coming, you know, one or two times throughout the season, there's something for everybody.
Now let's talk about members and memberships and why it's a great idea to be a member if you want to go to the concerts on the canal at the Historical Society.
It is a fabulous idea because in addition to the wonderful benefits that our members get to be a part of, if you're an IHS member, you get discounts on all of the seating options. So if you're going to get a table of four, if you're currently not a member, that would be $50. If you're an IHS member, that'd be $35 for you. If you're going to get a table of eight, regular price is $60. For IHS members, it's $45. Something like that. There are some cost savings there, and then you get to enjoy the Historical Society. You get obviously the different benefits of free admission for a year. You get to bring some guests with you. You get invited to a lot of other events, and you always get that reduced membership ticket price for just about all of our programs and events that we have.
And your membership is really reasonable.
Very reasonable. We start out at individual price of $50.
Mm-hmm.
And actually retract that. We have a student price of $20. So if you are a current student, you can do $20 for the year. But individuals start at $50, and then you can go a household membership, which would have two adults on the membership for $75, and then we kind of go up from there to 100 or 250 and so on. But that is for a one-year membership. And like I said, you enjoy free admission to all of our exhibits, which rotate throughout the year. So if you've come once, there's going to be something new for you to see the next time. Discounts to our History Market gift shop, discounts to our cafe, discounts on all of our programs. Discounts, 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 if you didn't get that.
Everything's on sale.
Yeah.
I love it.
And we're also part of what we call the Time Travelers Network, so it's reciprocal benefits for other historical museums and cultural organizations around the city and around the state. So if you like to travel, like to visit other museums, you get reciprocal benefits. Most of those are free admission, but some are, you know, discounted admission, but you get privileges throughout the state as well.
Is that new?
That is not new. I think we have been a part of that. I've been here about 9 years, and I'm not sure when the program started, but we've been a part of that program for as long as I've known.
Yeah. I've never heard of that, the reciprocal membership. That's pretty awesome. Can we find out about that at indianahistory.org, your website?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
So we just search Time Traveler Benefit?
Time Travelers.
Benefit. Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool. Okay, most importantly, let's talk about the food at Concerts on the Canal from the Stardust Terrace Cafe, etc. Ooh, tell us about it. Yum.
So they have a lot of different options. So Hoagland Catering actually does all of our food and beverage for the concerts. So we do have a few options. So you do get to go to the cafe. Our Stardust Terrace Cafe is open, and they'll have a variety of salads, sandwiches, some cold sandwiches, hot sandwiches. Then you get to go up to the grill. You're going to smell the grill before you even get here, so you might as well go. So, you know, hamburgers, pulled pork sandwiches, Italian sausages, hot dogs. So anything that you would want to throw on a grill, they have it.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, go hungry. It's delicious.
Yes, please.
Yeah, when I go, I just sort of alternate between them all because, yeah, it's all delicious. Okay, so we're talking about Concerts on the Canal with Natalie Palmer. She's the Senior Director of Visitor Services and Special Events. It starts on May the 30th, goes through, what's the last date? Early July?
18th.
July 18th. Okay, so 8 straight weeks. Now, to do reservations, it's actually really easy. You just go to the website and you can click here, click there. You can look at where the tables are located. You can pick one that's got an umbrella or not an umbrella, or, I mean, there's a lot of good choices, except for the sold out ones, but it's easy. I'm just telling you, it's an easy thing to do online. So,
well, thank you, Jill. I appreciate that.
You bet. I thought it was, and you know, sometimes I'm challenged. So, on the computer, but not usually. IndianaHistory.org is the website. And Concerts on the Canal is coming up, and we're very excited about it. Hey, would you stick around, Miss Natalie? Because I want to talk to you about some of those special events that you're apparently in charge of. Would that be okay?
Absolutely. We'd love to.
All right. We will be right back with Lifestyle Indie Radio right here on Freedom 95. Don't go away.
You're listening to Lifestyle Indie with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
Having some fun today with history, actually. And history can be very fun, to be honest with you. If you've ever been to the Historical Society of Indiana, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We call it the IHS for short. Natalie Palmer is with us, the Senior Director of Visitor Services and Special Events. Hi, Natalie.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great. Welcome back. Welcome back. We talked about Concerts on the Canal the last time we spoke. There's so many other wonderful benefits of being a member of the Historical Society, or even if you just want to do a one-trip visit. So let's talk about, tell me about the National History Day in Indiana. That I was on the website, and I'm like, well, when is it? I couldn't really see the day. Is that every day at the Historical Society?
Well, yeah, every day is a History Day at the History Center, but National History Day is a program that we do. It's a competition for usually middle school to high school kids.
Hmm.
So they have usually a theme for the entire year, and they do a project based on that theme. So they can create a website. They can do, you know, a simple project. You know, for those of us who are old school, you do those like three-panel project presentations or
yeah,
something like that. So they can pick a great topic and talk about that. They can do a performance. They can do a speech. They can do a reenactment. So they can choose what they want to do, and it's they're competing against their neighboring high school. So they have different levels. They do like their city, then their region. They go to state, and actually nationals is coming
wow
up. So we're a part of that progression for them to work on those projects. We have many judges. I think they schedule like 30 to 40 judges
jeez
per session normally.
That's a lot. Yeah.
And, you know, so we always need help with that. And, you know, so if people want to volunteer and, like, become judges, you can be a part of National History Day as well. But the judges are really just there to give them feedback. You know, if they progress to the next level, they may have to kind of up their game a little bit to be in the competition. And if they want to do something different for next year, they can take that feedback home, work on some projects for next year, and come back even stronger.
What's the theme for 2019?
2019, I believe, is, oh, you're going to catch me because it's not my program.
Busted. What are some that you remember in the past? Like, for example, maybe you could just throw out some examples of things that they've done before.
They do, you know, if it's creations or inventions or things like that, like being innovative.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you think of innovative and being creative, like, what do you think of? So the students have a chance to, you know, put their personal spin on it. And see what that term or what that topic really means to them and how that speaks to them. And they can pick a variety of topics. And like I said, you know, then they can showcase their talents in those different avenues, you know, building a website or doing a performance,
mm-hmm,
doing a project on, you know, somebody that speaks to them in history or things like that. So they have a lot of opportunities to kind of bring their own spin to
yeah
it and just kind of showcase what they can do.
So, Natalie, what I just recently on social media saw another gorgeous wedding photo, big family wedding photo on the stairs there at the
yes
Historical Society. It's mm-hmm it's a big place for weddings.
It is.
Yeah, beautiful spaces there.
Yes, yes.
So there are facility rentals. You mean you can do
yes
that?
Mm-hmm. And that's part of my duties here as well. I oversee the rentals
oh, okay
department. So we are able to host weddings, meetings, receptions. We do have a 300-seat theater, so if you're looking to do a performance, we're actually hosting a seminar in a couple days. So we have a lot of different things that the building can do. You know, if you have a meeting of 10 people, up to a specialized dinner or award show, or, you know, like an award ceremony for 200 to 300 people, we can accommodate that. So a lot of different things happening in the building almost every day.
How far in advance should those be scheduled? Probably depends, but...
Yeah, it really depends. If you're going to do like a wedding or something like that, most of your stereotypical weekends, you know, your Saturdays, sometimes our guest hosts on a Friday or a Sunday, but most of the Saturdays are going to be booked up. But we can always find room for anybody if you're going to do a daytime meeting. We do have several different meeting spaces throughout the day, so that can be a week or 2 weeks in advance. But usually if you're going to do a large event, like a 300-person sit-down dinner or something like that, I would say at least 2 to 3 months just to, because you're going to want to get everything together and work with caterers and things like that and kind of get all the logistics settled down.
Okay, so let's talk about, you know, you're in charge of all the special events. What do we have coming up that we can look forward to?
Let's see. So our education department, so it's education and community engagement, and also our local history services department, they put on a slew of, events throughout the entire year.
Yeah.
So one thing, and I'm so sorry you just missed it, it was just a couple days ago, it was Pines from the Past. So they were showcasing a lot of the breweries in Indiana, and at, in case you didn't know, do you know that Champagne Velvet was the first beer brewed in Indiana?
No.
In case you didn't know,
no.
Now you know.
I do.
so that was something, it was, you know, first created in 1902. So, and our partners with Upland, you know, they brought that beer back and,
what?
You know, kind of, you know, just upscaled it a little bit. So those are things that our team is like teaching people, that there's history in a lot of different avenues. There's history in beer.
Well,
there's
sure.
history in brewing. There's
wow.
history in those kinds of things. So yeah, that event happened a couple of days ago. We have coming up in just a couple of weeks. So we have a series called Ethnic Eats. And that's something that's put on in conjunction with our genealogy and education department, trying to educate people on the different, ethnicities and cultures around the city that you can enjoy food-wise.
Okay.
So every month you can go to a different restaurant and learn about that culture, learn about their food, learn about, you know, just the things that they're kind of experiencing with their food. And one thing coming up in June, you're actually going to learn about Nigerian food.
Ooh,
you
interesting.
Can go to the EKO restaurant and banquet hall and learn about, you know, just the food and the culture and kind of the history behind it and everything. So that's the last one in our series for this year.
Okay.
But every year they do a rotating series. So they host about 4 or 5 of those different events as well.
That's a great idea. Did you come up with that one?
I did not. I can't take credit for that one.
Okay.
So
I bet you
that
do,
was,
though.
Yeah, oh, no. Lauren works very hard on that program. She's okay. part of our genealogy department.
That's cool. And I noticed, I mean, you do have several boozy events. Those must draw big crowds.
We do, and we have actually one tomorrow,
okay.
and that is Blueprints, Buildings, and Brews.
Oh, what?
So you notice the brew pattern. Mm-hmm. We're talking about beer again.
Okay.
And this is another series, so you can enjoy this. We have about five or six different sessions that we're doing through the summertime. But have you ever been on one of those, the pickled peddler bikes?
I've seen them. When I'm running around downtown, I've seen, I see a lot of bachelorette parties on those.
There you go.
And so just people in general having fun. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
We've talked to those guys on the radio, the two guys that started that here too,
mm-hmm.
as
mm-hmm.
a matter of fact, the brothers. Go ahead. Sorry.
So we've actually partnered with them in Sun King Brewery. And what we're going to do is you're on one of those bikes, you're pedaling around and you're drinking Sun King beer. And then we're going to educate about the different architecture around the city and around downtown specifically.
No, don't
so the
make
different
me.
Buildings and the history. So the different architecture, the history behind
That's
it,
cool.
And you know what, you know how things have changed over the years and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So architecture, history, and beer.
That's fascinating.
What could be better? What could
no,
be better?
I really actually, you know, when the Notre Dame Cathedral was burned, I mean, I think all of us felt a little bit of. No, that's history. No.
Yeah.
And we have plenty of gorgeous, beautiful buildings in our city to learn about.
Yeah.
So that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So let's go back into the Historical Society. and talk about some things, some exhibits that might be featured or some programs that are happening inside your building that you're proud to tell us about.
Yes. So in case people don't know, our exhibits rotate every year. So even if you've been here, if you've been here a couple times, things rotate about every 6 to 8 months. And each exhibit stays here for about 12 to 18 months. So there's always something new and fresh to see.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we still have our Indianapolis Colts exhibit. That one's a little outside of our normal tradition of our You Are There.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we take a photo from our collection, turn it into a 3D space, and when you walk in, it's like you've traveled back in time.
Yeah, that's cool.
And you have stepped into the picture, and now you can interact with costume characters and learn about Indiana history in a unique way.
Mm-hmm.
So traditionally, that's what we have. Our Indianapolis Colts exhibit is more of a Hall of Fame type exhibit, lots of extreme powerful photos, videos, things like that, and just talking about the history of the Colts since they moved here in 1984 and how the team has changed, how the city has changed, including the stadiums from, you know, the RCA Dome to Lucas Oil Stadium, and how the NFL has changed and things like that. So that's going to be here till about early August.
Okay.
And we do have, you're going to travel to 1839, so that's Religion and the Divided Frontier, and that's highlighting Eli Farmer. He was a traveling pastor coming through Danville, Indiana. So when you walk in, you're going to travel into an inn that was located in Danville,
cool.
Indiana.
Neat. Yep. 1839. That you know, it's fascinating. History is fascinating. I think there's a lot of people that are really, you know, with people are doing the genealogy stuff and doing their family trees. And they've been doing that for a while now, but there's so much you can learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you all do that too. Don't you assist people who are searching for their Hoosier roots?
We do. So you can come to our library and our reference center staff will kind of help you. We're tapped into Ancestry.com a little bit. So kind of get them started on their genealogical research. And speaking of that, have you heard about Midwestern Roots?
No. Tell me.
Okay. So this is a large conference that we put on in July. Some conference activities are hosted here in our building, but a bulk of the conference, the two-day conference, is held out on the east side of the town at the Marriott East.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a regional conference, and I'm ashamed to say I don't
know
how many years we've hosted this. It's
probably
every 2 years,
okay.
But it's if you do all the activities, it's a four-day conference. We have a kickoff event. For those who know about the show Stuff You Miss in History Class, they're actually going to do a live recording of it here in our Basile Theater. So everything starts, it's that week of July. So July 17th is the kickoff for that. And then on July 18th, you have a slew of pre-conference activities. So genealogy resource, library workshops, different computer workshops, publishing, different publishing workshops, and just teaching people how to do proper research and giving them tools to do their actual research. And then you jump into the two-day conference.
Mm-hmm.
You can do Friday, you can do Saturday, or you can do both days, and that's held out at the Marriott East.
Very cool. And, you know, it's such a hot topic, and you know, you see TV shows with celebrities, you know, searching their history, and it's really interesting to see what you could uncover. You just never know. Have you ever done that? The, like, you know, I've never done it, so I don't know how it works, but the kits or whatever those are, have you ever done that?
No, I did give that as a birthday gift to my mom just last month. She hasn't sent it in yet, so we don't know any results, but
yeah, it's kind of like
she was able to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of like I want to know, I don't want to know, I don't know, you know? There's a lot of people that are they're very fascinated with that stuff, and that sounds like Midwestern Roots is for you, for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, Natalie, what have we not talked about that we need to?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I think we've talked about everything.
Okay.
I mean, the thing is with the History Center, mm-hmm. and I think hopefully everybody can get from our conversation, there's something for everybody.
Yeah.
So if you can come and do research in the library. You can come and visit our exhibits, hopefully multiple times to get, you know, all the information that you need. With the programs, we're connecting people using things that you love every day. You know, if you love music, if you love beer, if you love wine, we're going to find a way to connect that to some of the stories that we're telling,
mm-hmm.
And make that interesting for everybody. You know, we have our concert series. You can come out, just hang out with your friends and enjoy, you know, hopefully really great weather outside,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, making new friends and things like that. you know, in the fall, we have a lot of different programs coming up. And for the holidays, we have Festival of Trees. If you haven't been to that,
yeah,
this will be
cool.
Our sixth year doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, 80 decorated trees throughout the entire building.
Yeah.
So there is something for everybody for you to come here. So hopefully that's the message that everybody can get. You know, I know even before I got here, you know, when you're in school, mm-hmm. like, oh, history's boring. What am I going to learn or anything? I don't need to learn about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with our building, it's history is every day.
Mm-hmm.
And history changes, and there's always things that we can learn. And you can tie those things into your everyday life and learn about things in a very unique way.
I
love about our exhibits is, you know, our school kids come. They have such an interesting time, and because they're interacting and they're having conversations with these costume characters, they're remembering these conversations, and they go home, they talk about it, and they bring their parents back, they bring their siblings back, and they, you know, they talk about it. This is what I learned, and this is what I want to talk to you about today. And so those things, you know, you can't buy that.
No,
you
it's broadening the mind. It's great.
It's a great experience for everybody.
Yeah. A good launch point is indianahistory.org. And we've been speaking to Natalie Palmer, the Senior Director of Visitor Services and Special Events for the Indiana Historical Society. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Julie. Really appreciate it.
You got it. And you're listening to Lifestyle Indy on Freedom 95.